Parsha Naso. Now, Parsha Naso is the beginning of the second year. And the Parsha that we dealt with last time, Parsha Bamidbar, deals with the Machane Yisrael, the encampment of the Jews. And Parsha Balotcha, that we'll deal with next, deals with the journey. And smack in the middle of Bamidbar and Balotcha, we have Parsha Naso with seemingly unrelated halachot. Like, why was it shoved in the middle of the encampment and the journey? You could say that the point is to set up an ideal camp, an ideal society, with God in the middle, right? We're encamped around HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Are we theocentric? Is God at the center of our thoughts? In that was for you, Theo. the way that we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle, and this is the way we live our life, and how do we see it? In our parasha, we'll deal with A, the people that get kicked out of the machane, kicked out of the camp to preserve purity. B, we deal with the asham gzelot, one who steals and lies about it and threatens the moral integrity and society. C, the sota, right, that threatens the fabric of society. And then D, to maybe counter this, to balance, we have role models. Maybe the Nazir, maybe the Nisim. Maybe with this counterbalance, we deal with respected people to sort of have, I don't know, some sort of equilibrium. Now, who is kicked out? Mitzora. The Mitzora, not the leper, no one would think that, but some people maybe who thumb through the Chumash wondering when Naso is going to end. Maybe they also have no idea that a Mitzora is really not a leper. The Mitzora is kicked out of all three machanot. What are the three machanot? The inner machane is called the machane Shechina. Okay, and that is where machane is the camp. Okay, and the inner machane, that is where we have the Mishkan, that's called machane Shechina, the machane of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then around that, you have the Machane Leviya. As we said last time, we have the three clans of Gershon, Kahat, and Merari, and then on the eastern side, we had Moshe, Aaron, and his family. So that is the inner, that's the middle circle. And then on the outer circle, we have what's called Machane Yisrael. The Mitzora, he is kicked out of all three Machane. Why? Because as we know, yes?
Because the main reason why someone gets roused is
excellent. Good. We reward this person who has antisocial behavior to say, great, we'll kick you out of the society. You're out of all three machanot. Very good. Even though, as you said very nicely, Baruch, there are several reasons the Gemara gives for getting tzara'at. Well, the most famous is Lashon Hara. And you could say, actually, all the other ones were antisocial as well. The next person who gets kicked out is the Zav. Okay, the Zav, as we discussed, is some sort of spiritual venereal disease. There's a lack of purity here. He can't be in the inner two. He can still be in Machane Yisrael, but he's not worthy of being in Machane Shechina or even Machane Leviya. And then the least severe is someone who is Tamei Meis. Tamei Meis, he can't be in Machane Shechina, can't go into the Mishkan, but he can be in Machane Leviya and Machane Yisrael. Why can't he go into the Mishkan? Because as we said, Judaism is a religion of life and not death. If he now came in contact with death, we wait till he is purified before we allow him now to go into our holiest site, the Mishkan.
Yeah,
we have Paraduma. We're Paraduma. Now, then the parasha deals with matanot le kohanim, matanos kohanim. Ordinarily, if you steal, so we know what's the halacha.
Chop off their head.
Okay, not this halacha. Yes, in some religions that is one halacha. In Judaism, Jewish religion, what do we do?
Pay double.
Okay, pay double. We return it right away if you get caught. If you lie about it, anyone know?
Pay two and a half.
Okay, you pay
four,
it
four,
plus
four,
a...
Four, five, four.
Good. A chomesh, which is actually a quarter. Right, good. And you bring a carbon, asham, Gzeilot. Okay? Any of you guys who say Karbanot in the morning, it's one of the five Ashamot that's mentioned there. Asham Gzeilot, if you steal. Now, give me 1 second. If you... What?
Asham
is a guilt offering. Okay? If... a gift to the Kohanim. You know who Kohanim are? The priests? Okay, do you need me to say that? Okay, fine.
He said the Kuvim in Hebrew last night, and the Aron instead of the
Ark. I'm sure he did. Now, if you steal from somebody, and now you lied about it, I have to pay back Karen V'chomish, its amount, and the added penalty, the 1/5 penalty. What happens if the person I stole from died? So what would you say?
You pay his descendants.
Good. Give me a person who has no descendants. A ger. Good. A ger who did not start his own family. He doesn't have any descendants. What's the halacha, a ger convert? What is the halacha of, let's say, I don't know, Baruch steals from a ger, and by the time he's ready to pay back, the ger has died. What do you think the halacha is? He gets away with stealing? So he gives it to the Kohanim. That's why this is listed here with Matnos Kohanim. He gives it to the Kohanim, I guess to the people who are on call in the Beis HaMikdash then. Also, there's Truma is mentioned here, and Bikurim, things that we've discussed before, the first of your produce, and Bikurim, the first fruits. And these are given to the Kohanim. The only privilege that you have, it's called Tovat Hana. I get to choose which coin I want to give it to. Right? I have to give it to a coin, but I could choose which coin I want to give it to. Yes.
You give the gear before converting.
He got married and had kids, you give it to his kids.
You give it to his kids,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. We're talking about this isolated case where he doesn't have a family. Yes.
Can you give it to a relative coin?
Yeah. Right. So let's say you have a grandfather's a coin, give it to him. Your grandson is a coin, give it to him. Right? Absolutely. Okay. Then we get up to Sota. Okay. Now, I know. Sota works like this. If a husband warns his wife, I don't want you to have yichud. What's yichud? Be secluded with this particular guy. Okay? Let's say, for example, your wife is working late, too many nights. And like you go like, who else is in the office? No, just me and the boss. So, and you're not happy with that. You're getting jealous. And you think something might be going on. You as the husband can warn her and say, I don't want you to be in a secluded area. You know, if there are other people in the office, that's fine. But I don't want you to be in a secluded area with this person. Yes, Theo.
Except if you get a raise.
No. And it might be reasons why you're getting that raise. We don't want to talk there. Okay, now. Okay, if she violates the warning. Again, the husband has no idea if anything happened. All he knows is that she violated his warning, and she now, once again, was in a secluded area, say the office, with this person. So then the halacha is you bring it to the Mishkan. You bring it to the Mishkan. First of all, the husband has to bring a karban. He brings a karban mincha. Karban mincha is from Sa'orim. What is Sa'orim? Barley. Usually karban mincha comes from what?
Flour.
From
wheat.
What? Which flour? Yes, wheat. Wheat. The Gemara gets into, since the act that might have been committed was animalistic, we're now going to bring a karban from what was at least that time animal fodder, right? Usually humans at that time didn't eat barley. It was given to the animals. So you bring a karban mincha. The kohen uncovers her hair. Okay, from here, Chazal learned that married women had their hair covered, and he makes her take an oath about her actions.
The kohen?
The kohen.
So how did they make the...
What, the kohen?
The cover.
What do you mean?
How did they make the connection to the women?
The kohen uncovers the woman's hair.
Oh.
She's now... This is a ceremony. It's in the Mishkan. They're in the Mishkan. He uncovers her hair. Okay? He makes her take an oath. He says, you know, I want you to know that if you sinned, this is what's going to happen. If you're not, it goes through this whole thing, and she says, I understand, and I swear, yeah.
This is public, right?
Yes.
So then...
Public, says in Gemara Sota, that anyone who wanted to come should come, and we encouraged women to come.
So
we wanted women to see, and if you see that she died, it will be a deterrent.
Right.
So how come all, like, how come all these things were, like, okay, like, first off, if we're going to say that covering their hair was important back then uncovering her hair in public, and then also...
Yes, the it's all embarrassing her.
And then also the... Well, it's not, well,
thing all those part of it's, we're embarrassing her now.
Can we say it's like a halakhic issue or no? I mean, from a halakhic issue standpoint.
This is right now what is done. Okay? Now, I mean, I'm not getting into right now what the Gemara says you uncover as well. Right now we're just going in the Pesukim. Okay? It gets worse in the Gemara. Now, all is written down on a cloth. God's name is erased. Okay? We write this down on parchment. We put it in the water. Now God's name gets erased. In that water, you have, it's called Me HaMa'arim. Ma'arim. The water has dirt in it. Dirt that came from the Mishkan. It was a little like, in the base of Mikdash, there was a stone that you lifted up. Right? But your dirt put in the water, and you put in something bitter, so it should taste bad. And she drinks it. If she's guilty, she dies. She dies very gruesome way. Her stomach and her thighs probably here mean more like her genital area. They cave in, right? She implodes. She implodes, and it's a mida keneged mida. Yeah. It was in this area that she had a guy on top of her, right? So now her body sort of implodes. If not, so then a bracha happens, right? She gets a bracha, which we'll talk about in a second. And this was the key. Give me a second. People from committing adultery to keep people from giving birth to mamzerim. And again, we want our machaneh to be a machaneh that's worthy of hashrat shechina, because Baruch Hu should be there for us. Yes, sir.
How can we embarrass her before that?
We're going to get to that in a second. Yeah.
Did she drink it in the mishkan?
Yeah.
So what if she died?
Yep, she died.
Is that a problem?
Yeah, it's a problem. You're right, and the Kohen would have to leave right away.
Does it
everybody
run? Uh-oh, I think I see her imploding. Okay.
No!
Right, we have 5 seconds. Beep. Okay. The Kohen was standing by the doors waiting to see. Okay. No, no. You get rid of the body afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it happen?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
The inner stomach really exploded.
Imploded.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. And why do people? You say maybe I understand, but you said that people encourage other people to see this.
Yes. The idea is that we want people to see and learn.
But if it happens, we don't become Nazir.
We're gonna get to that also. But the idea is we mostly want women to come and see. So that a woman will say, whoa, okay, I better think twice before I cheat on my husband. Okay? But everyone's invited, men also. Okay? Can, let me just finish this idea, then I'll take the questions, because I might be answering some of the questions. Now, this was an open miracle that was done for the sake of Shalom Bayis. Shalom Bayis is family harmony. Because what? Because I'll tell you in a second. What happens? Let's say... you suspect that your wife is cheating on you. It doesn't matter how many times she's saying nothing happened. I just had to stay late and work. Nothing happened. I'm not attracted to my boss. You know, but the husband's not believing that, right? Who's the only being he's going to believe it from? God. So God has to weigh in now to keep Shalom Bayis and says, nothing happened. Now, yes, nothing happened. But at the same time, since she did defy her husband, the husband had said, I don't want you to have yichud with this guy. So since she did defy him, this is unequivocal. So we let her go through the embarrassment. Right? She need not have been embarrassed. She could have listened to her husband saying, you can't have be secluded with this guy. The fact that she did, yes, you're right. She didn't actually have an affair. But she did violate the warning. So therefore, says the Sforno, she's worthy of the embarrassment. And yeah, she won't die because she didn't actually commit adultery. But we're not crying over the fact that she got embarrassed in public because she brought it upon herself. Give me one more second. If she was innocent, she now got a bracha. And the Gemara gets into it. If she had unhealthy kids, now she has healthy kids. If she had a difficulty in giving birth, she had easier time. She had no children, now she'll have children. So there is some sort of bracha that happens. And the Gemara in Sota tells us that we are no longer worthy of this miracle. Why? This may be what Benny was alluding to when he said about husbands. This only worked if the husband was faithful to his wife. Right? Because it wouldn't be fair if a husband could go around, sleep with whoever who he wants, and then warn his wife, oh, you better stay away from your boss, and then she's going to blow up while you can do whatever you want. So only if the husband was himself a loyal person would this happen to the woman. So, says the Gemara in Sota, when adultery became more rampant and more people were cheating on their spouses, we stopped doing it. Why? Because the whole deterrent didn't work. What would happen? Let's say your wife now cheated on you and she drinks from the water and she doesn't die. Now, why didn't she die? Because you were cheating on her. But what happened? All the women that were invited to watch it, they see, oh, look, Debbie didn't get killed. And we happen to know she's been telling us all the sordid details that she's been cheating on her husband right and left. So the whole thing's a farce. There is no such thing. And women were actually now encouraged to say, hey, this is great. You can get away with it because the whole thing doesn't really work. So therefore, it actually was like, you know, it was a boomerang. Everything we wanted to happen was actually inverse and was counterproductive. Therefore, the Gemara says, when adultery started to become more and more rampant, we just stopped doing this open miracle. Yes?
How does that work? Because like, a man can have multiple wives.
Right. So we're talking about not where he slept with a single woman that would be mutter to him, but it would be a married woman, a relative, a non-Jew, so it's not mutter to him.
Regular wives.
Yeah. Then the Gemara gets into, do we look at his entire history? Or only when he was married?
Only when he was married.
You're hoping. But I'm saying, like, there are a couple opinions in the Gemara.
Wouldn't that be the same question for her, then?
I disagree.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be the same question
or
for her?
Or you agree with at least one of the opinions. Yes.
Wouldn't that be the same thing for her, then?
What?
Wouldn't that be the same thing for her, then?
I think the Gemara discusses it. I think only if she did anything. Look, certainly if anything happened while they're engaged, yes, that comes into play. If it happened prior to their engagement, that doesn't come into play. Whatever she did pre-marriage, that's for her, you know, has no relationship to him. Okay? Gemara gets into what happens if, let's say, it's a kohen and she was raped, so it's not consensual, but a kohen can't be with a woman who's his wife and she's raped. Gemara gets into all these different things, but that's not our issue here. Yeah.
What if she was raped?
So that's not sota, and nothing would happen. Yes.
Would you get a bracha?
Why do we not have the same ceremonial for men?
Because Baruch said a man could have multiple, multiple women, can multiple wives.
But if it's a forbidden wife.
Now listen, what the Gemara also says, you're asking if it ever happened. So, first of all, the assumption based on the fact that it said it was stopped shows that it was happening. Second of all, the Gemara says that not only would the woman drop dead, but the man she cheated with, her lover, would drop dead wherever he is. So I remember when I learned this, guy was telling me, oh my God, I could be sitting next to a guy in shul, boom! I said, yeah, he's standing on the shul here and might be a bunch of people. Like, I need to, oh, we lost our minion. Anyway, so, what?
I got loads of old people in my synagogue.
What?
I got loads of old people in my synagogue, and there have been times that I feel that one guy in the choir on Shana this year just died, and does that mean that somewhere else there's some poor woman just...
No, sometimes people just die. But if their thighs and genital area implodes, that's probably a good, that's probably, I would say that could be the reason why, yeah.
If we don't push for time, can I tell a small story? Are you pushed for time this time, or can I tell a small story?
No small stories. Okay. Yes.
Oh,
yeah, after. Yes.
If there's a sort of like this, would that be considered a body basin?
What?
If a basin tour.
I don't know. I don't think so. It would only be one of the Avraham Mises basin. There is a midrash that tells about twin sisters. A twin sister, identical twin sister, cheated on her husband. And what did she do? She asked her sister, "You go drink the water for me, because you're a good person, and you would never do that." And she did. And she drank the water, and nothing happened. And they met outside of the Beit HaMikdash, and they hugged, and they kissed, and there was a little bit of water left on her lip. And when she kissed her sister, boom, she blew up right over there.
No.
What a cool midrash.
No.
Anyway, that's what it says. Steven Spielberg would have a great time with all the special effects. Anyway, moving on. Nazir. Okay. One who takes a neder to become a nazir has to be a nazir for at least 30 days. Can't be a nazir for an hour, for a day. It doesn't work like that. You have to be a nazir for at least 30 days. What are the three areas that a nazir has to stay away from? First,
wine.
And wine includes any grape product. Next, cutting hair. And yes, you cannot become tameh to a mace. Okay, this is even for your seven immediate relatives, as opposed to a kohen who cannot go to a funeral except for seven immediate relatives. A nazir, not even. So he'd be more like which person?
Kohen
Gadol. Good. Now, according to the Gemara, the reason for nazir, and this is what Theo was saying, why is the laws of nazir, why the psukim of nazir following the psukim of sota? Because after seeing a woman blow up or implode in the Mishkan or in the Beit HaMikdash, you might say, "Whoa, I didn't realize that married women actually did that." And now you might start hitting on the married women. Now, when would someone be so bold as to hit on a married woman?
Yeah.
Only when he's drunk. So therefore we say, stay away. Stay away from the booze. Because then you might get yourself into trouble. What?
Why he's looking at this show?
When he sees this, he thought, obviously she's a married woman, she's off limits. Married women don't cheat on their husbands. But then when they see this married woman, you know, dying, there are married women that cheat on their husbands. So now he might be so bold as to hit on married women. So what would give him the guts? Only alcohol will give him the guts. Okay?
Yeah, but you also that.
You might need alcohol just to hit on single women. But anyway. not that I'm giving you a heads up. Now, moving on. Yes. What?
A nice haircut would also help his confidence.
A nice haircut might help his confidence. He looks disgusting. So he says, no one would even go out with me. Good. And something with the tumah, I don't know, but we'll figure it out later. Now, moving on. The Sfas Emes says, but in Shas, it's the opposite order. In Shas, right now, Daf Yomi, we're learning Nazir. And a little bit before Pesach, we'll start Sota. Why is the order reversed? Says the Sfas Emes, because this is not the only reason to become a Nazir. You can also become a Nazir because you want to get closer to God. Not just because you had a shocking experience, but you want to get closer to God. Okay, in the building that we're in, right near the dining room, there is a Nazir room. Rav David HaKohen was at least the most famous Nazir of the 20th century. He moved to Israel in 1922 after meeting Rav Cook in Switzerland. He was blown away by Rav Cook's sitkus and just changed his whole life and said, "That's it. You know, wherever you will go, I will go." Follows Rav Cook to Eretz Yisrael. He becomes a Nazir, even though he knows that can't end because there's no carbonot to bring. And he was a Nazir for the rest of his life, for 50 years, from 1922 to 1972. He said, "I'm coming to Eretz Yisrael." He became a Nazir. There's pictures of him downstairs. He has really long hair. He made a neder that his son should be a Nazir. Okay? His son, Rav Shari Yashiv Cohen, became the chief rabbi of Haifa. He was the brother-in-law of Goren. He was a Nazir. At the age of 12, the family got together and made a little basin that he could do Hataras Nadarim, because the kid, you know, father could take the nether for the son to be a Nazir, but you know, when the kid becomes bar mitzvah, it's really up to him. So the family said, we don't want it. And they pushed for him, and he did like a Torah Sederim. He continued not to cut his hair until 16. He did cut his hair at 16. His father was heartbroken. But the Nazir, he was for 50 years. He was a Nazir because he wanted to be closer to a Kaddish Baruch. He's already a Kohen, David a Kohen. So for Pesach, for Shabbos, he made an apple cider. That's what he drank. He stayed away from wine. And he was a very holy person. The Nazir was this Reb David a Kohen that we have the room downstairs. All of Elul, from Elul through Yom Kippur, 40 days, did a Tanis Dibur. 40 straight days. Okay? Tanis Dibur wouldn't speak.
Katz
okay?
Did that too, right?
What?
Katz also did that.
Of Katz also, heard. I heard, does something like that, yes. He did a lot of things to try. He felt that he would go out to the desert. He felt that he wrote books about Nevuah. He felt that he was trying to get to that level that he can get Nevuah. He's a very holy person. Anyway, so that's the Sfas Emes. You don't need to have a shocking experience to become a Nazir.
I thought you needed to drink 4 cups of wine.
So he didn't drink 4 cups of wine. You can have other alcoholic beverage. Yes.
And you can have a relationship with your wife.
You can have a relationship with your wife. He had kids. The Nazir had kids. Yes. Right. It's not like a monk or a priest or something like that. We're not into abstinence. Okay. You can have kids. He had kids. I don't know. You could ask Solomon about the Christian religion. I'm not holding. Now, if. But not now. If the Nazir becomes
Shomer. Not my choice.
I'm not saying anything. If the Nazir.
Look, give it to me.
Yes.
Give it to me after.
Yeah, I will. If the Nazir becomes Tameh, he needs to become Tar. He gets sprinkled upon. It's a 7-day process. Para Aduma ashes. Mixed with the spring water, which is called Mechatat, altogether on day 3 and day 7 of the Tara process. On day 8, he now brings 3 karbanot. Brings the karban Ola, Chatat, and Asham. And then he starts his Naziris again. Okay? When he finally completes his Naziris Batara, he brings 3 karbanot, Ola, Chatas, and Shlamim. With the shlamim, he brings 10 loaves of bread and 10 crackers. Again, it's called chalot and rikikim. He shaves all of his hair, okay, including his payas, which is ordinarily forbidden. He shaves all of his hair. And he takes the hair and he burns it while they cook the carbon shlamim underneath the carbon shlamim. The Kohen places in the hands of the Nazir parts of the karbanot and the breads, and he waves them, it's called tnufa, he waves them together with the Nazir. Now, the machlokus in Gemara Tanis, if being a Nazir is a good thing or a bad thing. Why would it be a good thing? Yeah. Because we just sang, it makes you holy, you're called kadosh, and you bring a karban chatas when you become tameh, so we see stopping it is bad. Okay, but another view is being a nazir is bad. Kadosh wasn't referring to the nazir; it's referring to the hair that you're growing is kadosh, and the chatas he brings because he finished. Like, why'd you stop? So I'm sorry, the other way around. He brings the chatas because. Why did you decide to become a Nazir? Okay. Rishonim also takes sides. The Rambam, where do you think he would hold? It's good or bad to be a Nazir?
Probably bad.
Bad. Why? Because the Rambam is opposed to extremism. The Rambam has a very famous principle called the golden mean. That you should always be in the Shila Zahav and not be an extremist to either side. So the Rambam's opposed to becoming a Nazir. The Ramban, on the other hand, said, he's kadosh, and we see the next sukkim that we're going to talk about is Birchas Kohanim. Also, like it's like kedusha, and he took upon himself this, and the karma chatas that he brings at the end is because why did you stop? Who told you to stop? You were doing so good. Two different views. Now the Rama has a very nice compromise. The Rama, Ramosha Isserles, says even according to the Rambam, if you ever anyone ever read the Rambam's Shmoneh Prakim, his introduction to Perkei Avot, or Rambam's Hilchot Deot. Okay, you would have to go down. So that's where we talk in both those places about the golden mean. That rings a bell, right? The Rambam himself says there are times that you can go to the extreme to get yourself back to the middle. Let's say you are in an opposite extreme. Let's say, for example, I don't know, you're an addict. Okay? You're an addict. So you should go to the opposite extreme, go cold turkey. Maybe other people, it would be okay for them to have an occasional glass of wine. For you, no. You have to go for it an extended period of time, not touching anything that you're addicted to. And then the Rambam would say, now you can work your way back to the golden mean. So says the Rambam, maybe here as well, if you feel that you need a temporary period where you're going to be a Nazir to combat some bad traits, maybe again, you saw Sota, or you saw some woman that gave you desires and started having, you know, I need to grow my hair unruly. I need to stay away from alcohol. You need this type of thing. And then you can come back to the middle. And that's why, very cool idea by the Rambam, the Pasuk says, Kadosh Yihyeh. In the future, when will you be Kadosh? Not during the Naziris, when you attain that equilibrium. When you're able to be balanced. When you're able to be normal. Right? Then you'll be Kadosh. The Avnei Nezer says a similar idea. He says, it's very interesting, the Pasuk says, after you finish, you know, bringing all the Karbanot, it says the Nazir can now drink wine. It's a bit weird to call him the Nazir can now drink wine. Why are we still calling him a Nazir? Because hopefully he still retains that spiritual level that he was on when he's now drinking wine. He's not just a drunk anymore. He's maintaining that status, that spiritual status as he drinks wine. So the Avnei Nezer, the Rambam, they're sort of like, yes, you can do it. You can be an extreme for a certain amount of time, but hopefully then get back and keep that Kedusha mentality while you do mundane things, which is what we're supposed to do in general. We're supposed to infuse our mundane activities with Kedusha. Okay. Questions on that? Yes, Theo.
And Rambam, so the view of Rambam is false, because
I don't think false. It's two different views in the Gemara and in the Rishon.
So he's okay to be extreme Rambam.
Yes, yes. This is good. You want to be Kadosh? Great. And obviously, the Nazir of David HaKohen, who was a Nazir 50 years of his life, was holding like the Rambam, saying that, yeah, we're allowed to do it. All yeah. Right. Now, Birchas Kohanim is the next sugya. We have a threefold bracha in the Mishkan and in the Mikdash. God's real name was pronounced. Not like we just say Aleph Talah Nun Yud, but his real name was pronounced in the Mikdash, in the Mishkan. Kohanim act as a conduit to bring God's bracha to the Jewish people. I'll give you two ideas about Birchas Kohanim. Yakedas Yitzchak, or Yitzchak Arama, was a contemporary of the Abar Benel. He said the first bracha, Yivrech Hashem V'yesh Recha, that is monetary. You're giving a bracha that you should have a parnasa. The next, from Ya'er, that is spiritual, learning, like enlighten, right? That's Ya'er, learning, wisdom, retention. And the third, Yisa Hashem Panav Elecha, that's you should have a relationship with God. Okay? That's Akedas Yitzchak. The Abar Benel sets about three different people that you may find in your community. The first is for the working class. Bless them that, you know, their actions should lead to their parnasa. Second is for the Talmidei Chachamim. Enlighten them in their learning. And the third that ends in shalom is for the soldiers. The soldiers that are out there risking their lives. So I was always proud when I lived in the Nevei Daniel. And obviously also in Yerushalayim, you could find people in my shul who are engaged in all of these things. There's working class people, there are people that learn and teach Torah, and there are people that are soldiers. And if you live in a community that you're lacking one of these three, or two of these three, it seems like somewhat of a weird community that you're living in, Solomon. Anyway, moving on. On the day, yes.
why you have, like, the second sword didn't really understand the difference, because you can ask for wisdom and like enlightening things, but it also enhances your relationship with God.
Right, but there are people that unfortunately can learn all day and think about God not even once. They can daven also not think about God even once.
Yeah,
okay.
So,
so we're now saying also that there should be a relationship. I agree, it should bring you to a relationship with God. I don't think it always happens. So these were davening, there should. Now, on the day of the erection of the Mishkan, it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, year 2, the Nesiim donated oxen and wagons to Shevet Levi for the transportation of the Mishkan. B'nei Kahat, however, they carried the Kelim on their shoulders. This, we'll see in the Navi class, this was the sin of David. When David was transferring the Aron to Yerushalayim, we know that it fell off the wagon and Uzzah went to grab it and Uzzah died on the spot. Peretz Uzzah. And it seems, you see from his rectification of it, the next time he does it, it's carried on the shoulders. Problem was, it should have been carried on the shoulders. Now, here's this very cool idea. Okay, the Shemi Shmuel. I came across this by chance. I'm so happy I did, though. You know, nowadays, unfortunately, everyone has phones. And when you have your phone, so if, let's say you finish your Shemone Esrei and you're waiting for the rabbi. So what do people do if it's not jobs? They go on their phone. So I'm in shul. There's no cell phones, or I didn't have a phone. So what do? You look for a sefer that's near you on the table, and you start learning till they start. And I picked up a sefer. Shemi Shmuel had this amazing idea. Shemi Shmuel Sakachavar Rebbe said, why did David put it on the wagon? Because he wanted everyone to be involved. This was money that was donated by the Tzibor. He didn't want just the Levium to carry the Aron. He wanted Am Yisrael to feel that they're a part of it. Because everyone donated and the money was used to buy the wagon, everyone would be a part of it. What a beautiful idea. But what do we learn from this? We learn from this that sometimes people have a particular job and they're supposed to do their job and not someone else's job. I remember once I was teaching in a girl's school and a girl said to me, it's not fair. Men have more mitzvahs than women. And I said, you're right. It's not fair. And I wish I was a Kohen. Kohen's got a lot more things than I have. But I guess HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, put me in this world to accomplish what I can accomplish, not as a Kohen. And again, he put you in this world to accomplish what you can accomplish as a woman. And she was like, oh. So I'm saying, like, different people have different jobs. And David thought, no, we'll all have our same job. And Kadosh Baruch Hu said, no, everyone's got their own job. Now, at the end, we have the Nesiim, they bring Karbanot. They bring Karbanot for Chanukat HaMizbech, the dedication of the Mizbech. Each one brought the exact same Karban. What they brought was consisting of some of every type of Karban. And they did the same thing day after day. They went in the order of the flags, starting with Yehuda, and going first. The Midrash says, because since Nachshon Ben Aminadab jumped in the Yamsuf, so Yehuda gets to go first. And it went in the order of the flags. At the end, all the Karbanot are tallied up. After Chanukat HaMizbeach, the Torah tells us that Moshe would enter the Mishkan to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Chizkuni points out it was only after the Chanukat HaMizbeach that brought the Shechina in to be able to speak to Moshe. Now, the obvious question is, why did we have to have so many psukim going through what each Nasi brought over and over, the exact same words over and over? So Midrash tells us that even though each Nasi brought the same Karban, they each had different Kavanot. Yehuda might have been thinking about, okay, I have a bracha from Malchus, so he's maybe thinking about that. And Zvulun might have been thinking about, oh, I have a bracha for success in business, maybe thinking about that. And Yisachar, success in learning. Each tribe is unique and brings, like, this is the thing, even though ostensibly they did the exact same thing, each person brings something else to the table because each person is different. And together, Am Yisrael makes up this rich tapestry. This is what Klal Yisrael is. So even if you want to say everyone was doing the same thing, but everyone, even now, we all daven Shemona Esrei, you know, say we all daven Shemona Esrei at Mincha, I already daven Mar. Okay, we all daven Shemona Esrei at Mincha. Did every single one of us have the exact same kavana? None of us had the exact same kavana as anyone else in the world. So we did the exact same act, but we came at it from a totally different vantage point. So too, this is a message of the Nesiim. They might have been doing the same thing, but the kavana is what separates them. All right, we'll stop over here.